you enjoy that saying too much. We are hopefully going to start back on Romans. I mean, on Luke. But I want to sort of wrap up something that we started with earlier. But anyway, it's about our attempts to relate to God in any way we can. If you feel you've done wrong, but God will forgive you, you can't relate to God. If you try to do something that you think is good, the Bible seems to say is good, and try to relate to God, you can't relate to God. The only way you relate to God, and the only way it's possible, is nothing about yourself and only the finished work of Christ. Now this is critical, especially if you're still haunted by shame. You have to know that his son will overcome all of that. So the relationship to God is based solely, it's solely on his finished work of his son. Now, whether or not that's, I mean, there are no exceptions to it. Let's go to Romans 4. I want to show you something. Because if you relate to God based on any part of you, then all of your past is resurrected. You know what I mean by relating to God?
Probably not.
Well, having access to him. Having, if you feel guilt, you can't. If you feel you're doing something wrong, you can't. If you're looking at yourself as some, you know, waiting for somebody to mention something that'll bring your shame back, you can't. It's only you. That's why the abandonment of self is so critical. Anytime you bring you into the picture, the relationship to God is based on the law. What?
I always press a little bit about putting the fence around God and saying he can only do this and he can only do that.
That's what the scriptures talk about. There can only be relationship in Christ. It has nothing to do with what putting up. Christ is the only possibility of having a relationship.
But God can relate to a Gentile. That's not a
no. He doesn't even relate to Gentiles. I'm not even sure he sees them. Iniquity or self-seeking has caused God to not look at you. That's what Isaiah says. Your iniquity has hid his face from you. There's all kinds of popular notions about, you know, about God, but he doesn't relate to the human race. He relates to Jesus Christ. What, Tom?
Well, I see a little bit of what Gary's after here. And I recall the verse where it said that God raised Pharaoh up so that, you know, his power was shown in him. Removing. And
what was doing? Well, how did God do that? By what agency?
Raised Pharaoh up.
Right.
I don't know.
By the Holy, by the Spirit, convicting the world of sin.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that it's possible for God to use things that he therefore must be able to see, and yet the relationship, if from me towards God, I agree with what you're saying, but from God towards anything he wants to do, he's not bound by that same thing.
Well, let's go to Isaiah 59.
I can see that his only relationship with the world is, you know, I raised you up so I can show forth the
Son. Now, let's go to Isaiah 59.
Or 53?
59. Are you cold?
Nope, just my...
Oh, close your page. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. So we think, okay, that's... But, watch. But your iniquities, your self-seeking, have separated between you and your God, and your sins hid his face from you that he will not hear. The only thing he's doing in the world is convicting it of sin. Let's go to John. Where in John? 16? Oh, I can't remember.
John 16.
Hold on a second. Yeah, John 16. Jesus is talking about that he's going away after the flesh. He says in verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, or the Paraclete, unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will do three things. He will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, not because of what they do, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So that's the only definition of righteousness there is. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged, so this world is judged. Those three things are what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now, he's always been doing the same thing. He's convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In terms of the mystery of Christ, there had to be an opponent, an adversary, antagonism. And that's why Satan exists. But the whole point of it is, I mean, let's go to Romans 4. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you're working any aspect of your life, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So you'll always feel at some part of you that you're not doing enough, or you think you've done enough and you really haven't. I mean, you've got to be, there's always some aspect there that brings you into the picture. It can't happen. Let's look at a couple others about this. At work is, I can't pronounce it right, but it's ergazo. Ergazo, yeah. And it means the worketh.
But so, it's worketh as pertaining to trying to gain righteousness, that kind of.
Any kind of worketh.
That kind of work.
No, any kind, because we have entered his rest. He is now our Sabbath. We've entered the rest.
Doesn't Paul say something about work in Galatians? Something about providing for self or working? Or, I don't remember what that was.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
I get righteousness from taking out the trash. Actually, I feel like I've done something.
if you're gaining righteousness, whatever you said, by taking out the trash, then it's working. You're trying to get righteousness from something other than Christ.
Yeah.
And that's sin.
That's the whole point of reckoning grace for debt, is that there's an exchange taking place. I did something, I deserve something.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be about a righteous thing. I mean, I've had the same situation where I thought, you know, I'm overseas, I'm doing the right thing, I deserve to make a pile of money.
Well, let's go to Galatians 3. What?
I thought you had one in Romans 4. I don't know.
We just read it.
Okay.
To him that worketh,
yeah,
is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
Yeah.
Do you understand what that means?
Yeah, I thought it was funny because it sparked that realization that of where I can get righteousness. It can happen in the smallest, unobvious aspect.
Well, yeah, because it happens in every aspect of life.
Right.
That's why we're trying to get all the pepper out of the salt shaker.
Yeah.
That's what sanctification means. All right.
We're not working to do that, though, are we?
But if any kind of work, you're putting more pepper back into the salt shaker instead of getting it out.
Yeah.
All right. Galatians 3. Well, we obviously have to talk. We have to go up to Galatians 2 for a minute before we start that. I'm sorry. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, you got to understand, the law here is anything. It's anything that is defined as the way a thing works. Is that, can that capture you?
Yeah. You got to break down some barriers to let that happen.
So listen carefully. Therefore, cause and effect is a law. Gravity is a law. All of the law, the principles and what's been discovered in science seem to be a law. I think I told this the other day, but to me, science has become an attempt to prove the truth. But the original science, it was an attempt to prove it's wrong. And the best scientists today still say that. They're attempting to prove something's wrong. These pseudoscientists are attempting to prove something is right. So therefore, the science is biased because it's biased. The experiment or whatever they're trying to prove is biased because they're coming from a position to prove it's right. Their eyes are blinded.
Yeah.
The same is true in studying scriptures. If you're trying to prove something is right, then your eyes are blinded because you've already got a position. And you have to try to prove it's wrong in order to have an open mind. And then you only read it to see the Lord or see Jesus Christ. But, you know, I only said prove it's wrong because that's what I try to do. But, and it doesn't work.
I think about cause and effect. We talk about that a lot. And yet, God is the master of cause and effect.
To put there to see if you'll come out of it.
Well, I mean, he says stuff like, if you will do this and if you'll do
That means that means you think there's an ought to or a should in the scripture.
Well, I mean, it says it that way.
I know, but remember, it's all location of sphere. Everything that is desired from the revelation of God is in the location of sphere, in the New Jerusalem, in eternity, if you will. Everything else is in time and space. So it's location of sphere. In eternity, all these things that you say, that it says you should, that's where they are. All the things that it says you shouldn't are in time and space. So it's dependent on where you are. There's not a should or an ought to in the scripture.
There are commandments.
Right. The commandment is to prove you can't get anything right. You can't do it.
So, I don't know how to say this other than the Bible is there to trick you almost. If you're looking in the Bible to see yourself and establish some behavior that's correct so God will communicate with you and you'll be right towards it, then you're just building it.
Well, then your eyes are still blinded.
Right. But when the veil is removed and you're looking,
then you see only where he is,
yeah,
and where he is. And you see eternity, the New Jerusalem, or time and space.
Right.
Those are location of sphere.
Yeah, the same words then have a whole new meaning.
Right. You have to look at the scriptures through the eyes of the cross.
Yeah.
And then you end up looking at life through the eyes of the cross. And that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Like I said yesterday, if anything that you're doing is time dependent, then you're locking yourself. I mean, you can obviously you do things that are time dependent, but you can't have an investment in the outcome. Then you're not doing it as unto the Lord, you're doing it as unto the idol that you created by that thing. And you'll do it every day, but you've got to see not that you, if you see you're doing it, you have to repent.
And then the motivation of repentance is not that you'll be a better person.
It's just so you go back to eternity.
Then the repentance is a return to that rest, and not repentance so I don't get caught again, or repentance so I don't get in trouble, or some weird motivation.
Well, right. The moment you look to see in here to see what to do,
yeah,
the veil is gone. You'll see all kinds of crap. And that's all it is crap. All right. 16, chapter 2, verse 16 of Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, any kind of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the only possibility to live by the faith of. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You know, as a child, you're all these. Oh, I was born again when I was 4. And I was baptized, and so I'm set. You can begin the journey by believing in him. But you might spend the rest of your life just by believing in him. But believing in him alone means you're still in the world and still in Egypt. You may know your sin is forgiven, but you're still in Egypt. You're essentially hiding under the door to ward off the angel of death. We start out by believing in him. And then we still do the law stuff. We still live by cause and effect and all the other stuff. Then finally, the dawn breaks in us by repentance, and we see that we live only by the faith of Christ, and then our minds are renewed to see that alone. I'm going sideways here. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, people read that and they're saying, well, that's about the Torah. No, it's not. It's about any kind of belief in how something works. Because if you know how it works and how to do it, then faith is not required. That's why the greatest enemy of faith, the final enemy of faith, if you will, of faith of Christ, is cause and effect. That's the last battle, is in Babylon. If you're still living by cause and effect, that means you're still a believer. You can say you understand it until hell freezes over. But the point of it is you're still in Babylon. Yeah, in that parable.
The whole thing about that previous thing about it's not reckoning of grace, but it's of debt. Well, if you've done something and you've constructed a debt and now you expect something back, it's a transaction.
Right. There's no transaction.
That's also cause and effect. And so, you know, anytime that you want there to be I've done, now I get, a transaction, a payment, cause and effect, however, it's all the same.
Or punishment.
Thing. It's all the same thing. Try to tie two things together and say, you know, they follow each other.
Amen. They don't in him, not by the faith of Christ. It destroys all law.
Yeah.
Even, that's why the ascension is the final act. And that's the final, the most obvious law is the law of gravity. He ascended on high, and we will ascend to meet him in the air.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, Gary said earlier about the, you know, that these things are a trick where it says, if you will do thus and so, I will have and I will hear and you will hear land and all that other stuff. If you hear that as a do, as a transaction, then you heard it the wrong way. If you hear it as a quit taking yourself, you know, in the equation, then it's not a transaction.
Amen.
And it means the exact same thing. It just depends on where you start from.
Right. It's position, location of sphere. Like our language, that's the lack of it.
Yeah. I understood what position, what location of sphere means. I wasn't sure anybody else got that because that's the difference between I'm going to do something, I'm not going to do something.
All right. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself the transgressor. Now there are 10 million ways to build again the thing that you destroyed at your conversion. You understand that? Then you may have also a lot of head knowledge, but you've made yourself a transgressor because you can never quite see eternity. You can never quite see the fullness of him. It's always something's hidden.
You know, I see the point of what you just said. At the conversion, if you really were converted, that was the point where you realized you got something you didn't deserve. You know,
and sin is
the very first time in your life that there wasn't two things connected together by cause and effect.
Right.
You know, reward, payment, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that you can, if you could just stay there or come back to there, then, you know.
If you don't stay there, you build again the things you destroyed.
Exactly. You're right back to where you came from.
Right.
To trying to work it, trying to make it happen, trying to do and then get.
Right. That's the whole idea of modern Christianity. Now, for I, through the law, am dead to the law. Not just dead, but you're dead to the law. That I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Something's going on in here. Yet not I that liveth. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loves you because of what? Because he sees you as part of the bride. He sees you as the body of Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And yet we still try to get righteousness by cause and effect. Like Gary said, taking out the trash. Anything that you have an investment in the outcome, then you get righteousness if the outcome succeeds, and you get whatever you get, you're for a while destroyed if it doesn't succeed. The same, that's why Christ, I mean, Paul defined the Jew. Go to Romans, back to Romans real quick. Romans 2. Verse 28. I just want you to know that I'm not making it up. That's why I ask you to go there. All right. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, the reason that's so important is they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Now, if you succeed in something, they will speak well of you, and you desire that praise of men. That means your heart is not yet circumcised. It may be a little bit, it may have started, but it's not circumcised all the way around. You got it? Just think of what it means to no longer need the praise of men, of any man. If you no longer need the praise of, then you can't be hurt by.
If I don't need the praise of men, then why do I get the criticism of men?
Because you need the praise. That's the other side of the coin.
No, I'm saying, I don't understand it. I don't need the praise of men.
That means you, but that's the point of it. The test that you don't need the praise of men is whether or not the criticism hurts you.
But if other men have died to self, if they're trying to praise me, then they should keep their mouths shut.
Well, that's not the way it works. The way it works is you'll be criticized more to test whether or not you need the praise of men or not.
You know, that's what I was thinking about when Paul said it doesn't frustrate grace. As much as I hate to say this, because I'm sure I'll be pushed on this, it is when things fail, you know, that's grace. Because if they succeeded, then the world would speak well of them.
Amen.
And he would follow in that direction. So, you know, anytime that you continue to have failure, that's actually grace, you know. And hope.
Right, because if you don't have failure, you can't be poor.
Yeah. So, be glad for the criticism. It's grace.
That means you have an open door to criticize him all you want.
Yeah, probably me too.
I'm above that.
I bet it needs a
Jeff. All right. That's enough. Take it, big guy.
Well,